I want to start out in chapter 38 in the book of Job here, chapter 38. And God is, Job has been saying, Lord, if you know, he's all through the book. He says, if God would just show up and tell me where I'm missing it, then I'll repent if I need to repent. If God will show, and I don't think I've missed it anywhere. If God will show up and tell me where I've been wrong, if he'll reveal himself to me, that's how I want God to speak to me face to face. So God says, all right, you asked for it. And so he comes down in a whirlwind, and he begins speaking to Job. And he says in verse 4, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? That's the verse that Ken Ham uses with answers in Genesis. When people start talking about the earth as billions of years old, he says, well, just ask him, okay, where were you? Were you around back then? No. Well, then you can't really speak authoritatively about it, can you? Which is true. It's all just speculation. A lot of it based on, well, anyway, that's not our message today. But he says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurement? Surely you know. Or who's, you know, God can be sarcastic. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? God is talking about when he created the heavens and the earth. And he says, Job, you might know, and you people on earth might know something about building a building, but guess what? I made the heavens and the earth. And where were you when I stretched out the earth and I laid its foundation and I measured it and I did everything that you know about building? Well, I did it and when I built the earth, he said. And notice this now. He says, verse 6, to what were its foundations fastened, or who laid its cornerstone? Verse 7, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. At the beginning, in creation, there was singing. The morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy as they beheld God creating the heavens and the earth. Now go with me to Revelation chapter 5. Verse 8, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. So we see my point as we begin this morning. My point is there was a song at creation, and there is a song at the culmination of God's plan of redemption. From Genesis to Revelation. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. That's way up into the millions. 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy, we sang it this morning, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and and honor and glory and blessing. There was singing at the beginning, at creation. There was a song. The morning stars sang for joy. There's a song at the culmination of God's plan of redemption. Hallelujah. From beginning to end. From beginning to end. God began to speak to my heart this week and began to stir my heart about the importance and the power of singing. So in fact, the title of the message today, if you're making notes, the title is Sing a Song. Sing a Song. And I actually began to think about this Wednesday morning. I was on the way to school, and as you know, if you are on our email list, you know that Linda Harris's father, Mr. John Garner, went home to be with the Lord on Sunday night. We were at the funeral home on Tuesday evening, and Linda shared some things with me about Mr. Garner. By the way, since it's Memorial Day, I'll mention this about him. He was in World War II. He was born in 1924, same year as my mother. He would have been 90 years old if he had lived a few more days. June the 8th was his birthday. He went to be with the Lord on May the 18th, 2014. On May the 19th, 1944, he was riding in as a tail gunner in a B-17 plane, and the plane was shot down over Germany. And he was captured, and he served 11 months as a POW. I thought about that later. He was a 19-year-old kid, and served from May. He served 11 months. It was April of 45 when the war was won, and when we went into Germany and liberated the prison camps. That's when he was released as a POW. So what a great man! And I had the privilege of knowing him. And he, and if you know Linda, you can see what a great man that he was as well. But I'm thankful I had the privilege of knowing him. But she shared some things with me that I'll get into later in the message that made me think about this and started stirring my heart. And so Wes and I were riding to school, and as our custom is, I've shared with you, we put on the armor of God first thing. Then the next thing we do is we either plead the blood of Jesus over our family and pray for our family, and then we pray in the spirit for a couple of minutes, and sometimes we reverse the order, but we stay pretty consistent with it. And all of a sudden, I realized we put on the armor, and all of a sudden, I realized we were way down the road, and God had been speaking to me, and I said, oh, wait a minute. I said, okay, Wes, I'm back now. I said, I've been getting revelation. And I said, what is it? Well, that's what I'm sharing with you this morning, or what I'm going to share. And he began to speak to me about the power and the importance of singing. And I want to stir your hearts with this today. So when God was creating the heavens and the earth, the morning stars, I believe that was the angels, they sang together. God says in Job. And at the culmination of redemption, there will be singing. Now, some of you are sitting out there saying, well, Pastor, I don't sing. I don't have a great voice like Lizeth and Jonathan and all these folks and our praise and worship team and Tom and all those people. Well, singing is not just for those who have wonderful voices. Did you never read where it says in Psalm 100, make a joyful noise? I like that. That helps me. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It might sound like a noise to people around you, but if it's from joy out of your heart, it's beautiful in the ears of God. Amen. In fact, let's look at that verse, Psalm 100. Look at verse 1 and 2. Psalm 100, verse 1, make a joyful shout, literally is what it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Amen. You know how to do that? Somebody make a joyful shout right now. Doesn't that sound good? Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with sadness. With what? Oh, yeah. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. That's the protocol, folks. You know, there's a certain protocol. If you want to go see, of course, most folks couldn't do that. If you want to see some elected official, there's a protocol. You know, when we went, Tom and I went 2 years ago, we went to Washington, D.C. for the Christians United for Israel conference there. And on the last day, we got to go speak to our congressman. They briefed us. They didn't just say, okay, boys, you know, have a good time. Go see your congressman. They briefed us. They said, all right, here's what you need to do. You need to be here at this time. Say that. Don't say that. Say this. You don't want to talk about this? You can talk about that. They briefed us. They gave us talking points before we went in to see our congressman. There's a certain protocol we had to follow to get in there and to do that. Well, here's the protocol. Here's the protocol of going into the presence of God. Come before His presence with singing. Come before His presence with singing. That's the way you get into His presence. In the Message Bible, I don't think I had them put that up there, but the Message Bible in verse 2, it says, sing yourselves into His presence. sing. Did you know you can sing yourself into the presence of God? Well, Pastor, I just don't know. I just don't feel God. I don't know. You people talk about God speaking to you, and you talk about, I just don't ever feel God. Sing yourself into His presence. It's more than just feeling God anyway. It's sensing His presence. It's more than a, it's not necessarily a feeling. Feeling's not the best word to describe it. But we sing ourselves into His presence. That's His protocol. He said, you want to get into my presence? Come with a song. Amen. That's why we have praise and worship at the beginning of the service. It's not just a time filler so the latecomers can make it in here before the sermon.
That's right.
There's a method to this. There's a reason behind this method. Amen. The reason is we want to invite the presence of God. Does anybody ever sense the presence of God when we... when you come in here and we're singing?
Yes.
Boy, I do.
Yes.
His presence absolutely comes, doesn't it? That's what He said. Come before His presence with singing. Amen. The Bible says on the other side, it says He inhabits the praises of His people. So not only do we come into His presence, but He comes into our presence.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's so important that we understand the power of a song, the power of singing. So we can sing ourselves into the presence of God. That's reason enough right there. I could send you home today and give you the fact that you can sing yourself into the presence of God, that ought to make your day and your week. If we'll do it. Amen. See, the devil wants to keep your mouth shut. God wants to fill your mouth with a song. Amen. Psalm 89, verse 1 says, I will sing. Look at this. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. How often?
Forever.
With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness to all generations. Think about the power of a song. I will sing, the psalmist said, I will sing of the mercies. It says it's a contemplation of Ethan. So Ethan wrote this song. How about that? Ethan the Ezrahite. Ethan the Ezrahite, we would not know who he was except for this. But he said, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever, and with my mouth I'll make known your faithfulness to all generations. Well, Ethan, I got news for you. You're still doing it, buddy.
Amen.
Glory to God. Because he opened up his mouth and he began to sing to the Lord. We still know about this. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness to all generations. I thought about some of the great hymns. I thought about Amazing Grace. John Newton, that former slave ship captain. About how he got saved. And he penned those words, Amazing Grace. And we're still singing that song today. Talking about the amazing grace and mercy and love of God. I thought about, I don't even know the author's name, but I thought about the song, Great is Your Faithfulness. Oh God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Amen? Hallelujah. He says, I'll sing of the mercies of the Lord. These mercies are worth singing about. And with our mouth, in song, we can make known His faithfulness to all generations. Now I think about growing up as a kid, just in her everyday chores, going through the house, my mother would sing. Remember that? She would sing. She would praise God. She would sing the old hymns that she grew up singing. Hallelujah. I was thinking a few Sundays ago, we were singing one of the Psalms. I think it was from Psalm 27. The song was based out of Psalm 27. But I thought, in that moment, I thought, I wonder what David thinks up there in heaven as he listens in. Hey, they're still singing my song. 3,000 years later. 3,000 years later, we're still singing it. That same chapter in Psalm 89, verse 15. I like this verse, Psalm 89, verse 15. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. The joyful sound is a song. Do you know the joyful sound? Do you know it in your life? If you do, then the Bible says you're going to walk in the light of His countenance. Another translation says the light of His presence. If you know that joyful sound and you keep it going in your life every day, in a song, with a song that you sing out to the Lord, you're going to walk in the light of His presence every day. You think there's any value in that?
Yes.
Walking in the light of the presence of God every day of your life?
Yes.
Amen. See, when you know and when you engage in that joyful sound, then you enter into His presence. You can live in His presence. Amen. Singing, we also know. Here's another point. I don't know what the first one was, but here's one. Singing is an expression of faith, isn't it? Singing is a way that we release and a way that we express our faith in God. It's a way that we affirm that we're standing on His promise and standing on His word. Faith has to be released, doesn't it? In order for faith to work, in order for faith to accomplish anything, it's got to be released in word and in action. One way we can release faith with our words is to sing it. You can sing out your faith. Psalm 106, verse 12, look at this. Then they believed His words, they sang His praise. They believed His words, they sang His praise. So we release our faith through a song. I think that sometimes it's more powerful to release your faith in a song than it is just speaking the word.
Amen.
Amen. In Acts chapter 16, you know the story of Paul and Silas. They're in prison. They were arrested, beaten and arrested for preaching the gospel. I guess they got arrested first. I guess they would have to arrest them before they could beat them, right? Did they beat them first and then arrest them? Okay. All right. Anyway, they got beaten and they got arrested. And they're in the inner prison. They're fastened. Their feet and their hands are fastened with stocks, with chains. It says in Acts 16:25, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying. Said, Pastor, I've been praying. It seems like nothing's happening. Well, you need to add something to your praying. I said, you need to add something to your praying. That's where some folks are missing it. You've been praying, all right. You need to add what Paul and Silas added. They were praying and, everybody say and.
Amen.
They were praying and singing hymns to God. King James says singing praises to God. This New King James, where it says singing hymns to God, I believe they were singing known established songs among the believers at that time. I think that's what those hymns, and it didn't say they sang just one, they were singing hymns, plural. They were singing hymns to God. So they're in prison. They've been beaten for preaching the gospel. I'm sure outwardly they're very discouraged. Outwardly they're in pain. But thank God on the inside of them, the joy of the Lord was stirring. On the inside of them, the joy of the Lord was rising up. They started praying. And as a result of that, they said, we know God's with us. We know God's going to see us through. And they started singing a hymn. And they said, well, that was good. Let's sing another one. And they sang another hymn. Hallelujah. And they probably sang another one. And the Bible says, they weren't doing it quietly either. It says the prisoners were listening to them. The prisoners were listening to them. What were they singing? I know they were singing something about how God had saved them. So how do you know that, Pastor? Because that earthquake came as they were praying, and then as they began to sing hymns to God, suddenly there was a great earthquake, the Bible says. Everybody's chains came loose. The prison door flew open. And the jailer came in. He was going to kill himself. Paul said, no, don't do that. He thought all the prisoners would escape. And he thought it'd be better to take his own life than what, you know, than what the authorities would do to him for letting the prisoners escape. Paul said, do yourself no harm. We're all still here. And he brought a light in and he said, what must I do to be saved? How'd he know about being saved? What he heard about being saved? He heard those hymns. They were singing about how the Lord had saved them. They might have been singing that, look what the Lord has done. Who knows? That's a different one. What is the one? Save me, cleanse me, turn my life around, set my feet back on the solid ground. Look what the Lord has done. That's it, isn't it? Hallelujah. Praise God. So they were praising God in a song. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
I thought about 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The nation of Judah was attacked by three enemy armies. King Jehoshaphat and the people sought the Lord. They came together to seek the Lord. What'd God tell them to do? Verse 20, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. What's our point? Our point is singing is an expression of faith. Paul and Silas had faith that God was going to deliver them. God was going to take care of them. They sang out their faith in a song, and he shook that prison and set them free. And as a result, the jailer and his whole house got saved. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 20, the people of God are in trouble. The nation is being attacked by three enemy armies. They come together. King Jehoshaphat calls the nation to seek God. And so in verse 20 of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, so they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God." Do what?
Believe.
Believe. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should launch the, what are those things, catapults, you know, with all those big rocks, you know, to bomb the enemy. Is that what they were doing? No, oh, no, no. He appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." They started singing that. Verse 22, look at this, look at this. Now when they began to sing, when they began to sing and to praise. Now it's possible to sing without praising. You could sing, you know, any kind of song and not be praising. But it's really powerful when you put singing and praising together. It's extremely powerful.
Amen.
It's possible to praise without singing. It's possible to say, "Praise God, Lord, I praise you, I thank you." But it's so much more powerful when singing and praising are combined. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. God went to work in their behalf, supernaturally delivering them, supernaturally helping them. When? When they began to sing and to praise. I have a question for you. What do you think God would do for you in the midst of the attack that's coming against you when you begin to sing? When you begin to sing and to praise. Do you think he's a respecter of persons? Do you think he would do any less for you in delivering you and helping you than he did for the children of Judah back in that day? I say he would do the same for you. When you and when I, in the midst of our situation of peril, when we begin to sing and to praise. We'll let that sink in a little bit. Praise God. Singing is a powerful way to release your faith. Look at Psalm 59, verse 16. Psalm 59, verse 16. "But I will sing of your power." So, Pastor, what should I sing about? Sing about God's power. Sing about God's power. Children of Israel sang about God's power. You remember when they came through, the first record of a song is actually Exodus, I believe, Exodus 15. And of course, we know they were singing at creation. But in Exodus 15, when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt and they came through the Red Sea and the Red Sea closed in on Pharaoh and his army and they came out singing. "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider he's thrown into the sea." Hallelujah. He said, the psalmist said, "I'll sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy." When? In the morning. For you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Has God defended you? Has God been your refuge? He said, then sing of his power. Sing aloud of his mercy in the morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. As I read that article about Rachel and about how God brought her through, it gave me a better understanding of how Jonathan is able to lead us in worship and how he worships from his heart. He's thankful for what God has done in saving and healing and delivering his wife. Amen. I will sing, verse 17, to you, O my strength, I will sing praises, for God is my defense, my God of mercy. Oh, he's your God of mercy. He's your defense. The psalmist said, I'm going to sing. He's your strength too. He says, oh, to you, O my strength, I will sing praises. You want God to be your strength? Sing some praises to him. And that consciousness of him, of his strength, will begin to rise up in you. Amen? Sing of his power. Sing of his mercy. Sing to him because he is your strength. Here's another point. We remember words that we sing, don't we? I mean, you know, you still have some old secular songs floating around in your head that every once in a while they'll just start playing. Play button will come on. Where'd that come from? Well, thank God, hopefully you've been imbibing enough good word-filled songs that some of those start playing in your head too. Amen? And you can remember every word, can't you? Huh? Amen? We remember the words that we sing. See, the Jews related and remembered their history, what God had done for them. They did that through song. In fact, Deuteronomy 31, God instructed Moses. He says, now therefore, in Deuteronomy 31, 19, now therefore, write down this song for yourselves and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths. That's how you remember. You know how you remember something? By putting it in your mouth. Putting it in the form of a song. That this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. Verse 22 says, therefore Moses wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. Back to Mr. Garner, Linda's dad, for a minute. On Wednesday they had the funeral, and it was beautiful. I thought a very inspiring and beautiful service. And of course, on Tuesday night, we came to the conclusion, you know, the funerals are, it's based on the material you've got to work with, whether it's a good funeral or not. Talking about the person, the person that you're memorializing and that you're honoring, which is true. But they did a beautiful job. The church choir, where they were members, they sang. And then a young man got up and started singing a song that took me a long way back. It took me back to my very first memories in church. And the first pastor that I remember growing up at Salem Baptist Church was Pastor Carl Stewart. And his wife was named Polly. And this is kind of rare, I guess, but he would sing. He played the piano, didn't he? They would go over to the piano, and he would play the piano, and she would stand beside him, and they would sing, and they would harmonize, and it was beautiful. And there's one song that I remember them singing above all else. The point is this. I don't remember any sermon that Preacher Stewart ever preached. Not one word. Not one sermon. Preacher Stewart, I know you're up in heaven. Listen, I'm sorry. I know that was probably good. But I don't remember. But I do remember Working the Road. That was a song that they would sing, Working the Road. And that young man sang that song at the funeral. I remember Working the Road from time to time. I tried to find it on the internet a couple of years ago. I couldn't find it. But that song just came up in my heart one day. And I remember it. I remember the words. You remember words that you sing. That's why it's so powerful. That's why it's so important. Another thing about, here's what David said in Psalm 119, verse 54. He said, your statutes have been my songs. You want to get the Word of God into you? Start singing it. Start singing it. That's what, that really helped form a foundation, I think, in my life See, I got filled with the Holy Spirit back in 1979, and that was at the peak of the charismatic movement. And what was big in that day was scripture songs. Does anybody remember that? Maybe a few of you. I mean, we would sing Psalm 63 and Psalm 61 and Psalm 48. We would just have a little prayer meeting, and we'd be sitting on the floor, you know, in a circle, and somebody would just call out a scripture reference, and we'd start singing that. Every one of our songs. I had a Bible one time, and I just listed all the songs that we did, and it was just scripture. So Psalm 63, and it's like a whole, like three columns, on the inside, you know, back cover of my Bible where I wrote down so I could remember, you know, which ones we sang. And there were so many of them. And that's the way I learned. One of the ways I learned the scripture and got the scripture ingrained in my heart was from singing it. David said in Psalm 119:54, "Your statutes have been my songs." Your statutes have been my songs. See, songs come out of our spirit. Another thing about this is what got me thinking about all of this, what Linda shared with me on Tuesday night at the funeral home. Mr. Garner had been in a nursing home for, would you say, 7 years? For 7 years. And I don't know how long, but he had not been really able to carry on a conversation or communicate. But they would sing. Linda's sister would sing some of the old hymns that he loved. And out of his spirit, He even though he couldn't talk, carry on a conversation with you, out of his spirit, he would sing perfectly. Hallelujah. Those songs. Isn't that amazing? Well, when she told me that, I wasn't surprised, because I'd heard that before. I'd heard Brother Hagin had talked about that, and I knew others had talked about that. Why? Because that's coming out of a song comes out of your spirit. Hallelujah. And she shared one more thing, too, that they had a, of course, he would go to the chapel services that they had there at the nursing home. And one time they had someone come in and fill in that wasn't the regular minister there. And he didn't know Mr. Garner, didn't know that he wasn't able to talk or speak. And they called on him to pray. Mr. Garner, would you pray? He wasn't able to communicate with you. He wasn't able to carry on a conversation with you. But out of his spirit, they said, came the most beautiful prayer. Isn't that amazing? Praise God. Those things come out of our spirit, folks. Hallelujah. Your spirit knows things that your mind doesn't know. Your spirit can express even when your mind may be, you know, incapacitated. You're out of your spirit. Amen. We need to learn to live out of our spirit more. Some people don't know it, but their mind's a little bit incapacitated. What comes out of it's not so good. Hallelujah. Amen. Another thing about the song, see, Satan has tried to pervert this, hasn't he? Satan has tried to pervert this. You know, he understands the power of a song and the power of music, because he used to be over that aspect. If you read the scripture, if you read Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, you find out that he was in charge of the music and the worship and the singing in heaven at one time. So he knows the power of it. And that's why he's tried to pervert it, to bring in all sorts of ungodly values and ungodly behavior into our lives. And not every secular song. I'm not saying that every secular song is bad. Some of them are all right. They're decent and clean. Some, very few. Matter of fact, I can't think of any. I'm sure there are some. There are some that are. But there's a lot that's not. And that's Satan's perversion. Taking the power of a song, taking the power of music to draw people away from God, to draw people into perversion, to draw people into immorality, to draw people into depression. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. But thank God that we can redeem and use, and we can understand the power of a song and use it for the glory of God. Amen. And use it for our victory.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Because God has also ordained that through the power of a song, we exercise authority over the devil. Did you know that? And that we execute judgment on the devil through a song. Jonathan's, you're furrowing your brow there, brother. I'm going to give you some chapter and verse. Say, where is that at? Look at Psalm 149. Glory. I love this. Psalm 149, verse 5. It says, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them what?
Sing aloud.
Let them do what?
Sing aloud.
You've been doing this? Have you been obeying this verse? Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. That means when you're at home, when you wake up in the morning, or when you're going to bed at night, just let out a song. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises, next verse, let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. In other words, in the power of that song, it's bringing praise to God, and it is a two-edged sword against the enemy.
Yes.
Glory. To execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings. He's not talking about natural kings here. Think about the realm of the spirit. He's talking about this is the way that we exercise authority over the devil through the power of a song. Oh, glory to God. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment, the written judgment, this honor, have all his saints under my feet. He's under my feet. Now my victory is complete. Jesus spoiled, principalities made a show of them openly under my feet. The devil's under my feet. You ever sing that song? You ought to. Amen. Hallelujah. We execute judgment on the devil in the power of a song. And praise to God. Amen. You ought to start utilizing this. I said you ought to start utilizing this in your life. Amen. Glory to God. Is anybody getting excited about singing? I think we're about to pop a cork here. Hallelujah. I hope we are. I hope you're getting stirred up to where we can't hold you back anymore.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Here's another point. Sing, for the Lord has redeemed you and delivered you. Isaiah 35, verse 10, it says, and the ransom, the redeemed of the Lord, the people that the Lord has bought back, that's us, with the blood of Jesus. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with what?
Singing.
With singing. With singing, with everlasting joy on their heads, they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Psalm 126, look at this with me. Psalm 126, verse 1, it says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Has the Lord brought back your captivity or turned your captivity?
Yes.
Hallelujah. He said, verse 2, then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with what?
Singing.
Our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. They were singing, they were laughing, and they were singing. And the people on the outside were looking at them and said, my goodness, surely the Lord has done great things for them. And then they affirmed it. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Has the Lord done great things for you?
Oh, yes.
Sing him a song about it.
Amen.
Psalm 30, verse 11. The psalmist says, you've turned for me my mourning into dancing.
Amen.
You've put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness to the end that my glory, my soul, may sing praise to you and not be silent. God turned your mourning into dancing. God put off your sackcloth, clothed you with gladness. Why? To the end, for the purpose of that your soul may sing praise to him and not be silent.
Amen.
Don't be silent. Let a song come out.
Amen.
I said, let a song come out. Come on.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Here's another point. Singing. Singing is what spirit-filled New Covenant people do. It's just what we do.
Yeah.
If you're in the New Covenant, if you're full of the Spirit, singing is just something you do. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's written to the whole church. That's written to the believers in Colossae, which means it's written to the believers in coming. It's written to us today. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. How? In psalms and hymns and spiritual song. Notice that we can be taught. A song can teach us. I said a song can teach us. A song can admonish us. What's that? Encourage us. Men, when we sing Cornerstone, that song admonishes me. That song encourages me. It's full of solid truth and revelation of what Jesus has done for me. Amen? Hallelujah. Ephesians 5 verse 18, a very similar scripture, it says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit speaking. If you're full of the Spirit, something's going to come out. I said, if you're full of the Spirit, something's going to come out. Be filled with the Spirit speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. New covenant people, Spirit-filled people, singing is what we do. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. We talked about hymns. Those were established songs that the believers knew. What about these spiritual songs? That's a song that the Holy Spirit would give you that you sing out of your heart. We need to learn more about that, not by having a seminar on it, but by experiencing it. By just diving in and just getting in the presence of God and just worshiping Him and singing, and then let a song come out of your heart and speak it out. Sing it out. Let it come out your mouth. Hallelujah. So the world gets drunk and starts singing. You've seen that. I saw an old, I don't know what it was in, some little cartoon years ago when I was a kid. These guys are pulled over. Their car's pulled over by the police. There's four or five guys in the car, and they're all, you know, they got bubbles all around them. They're drunk, you know, and so their spokesman says, "Honest, Josipher, we wasn't driving. We was all in the back singing." So the world gets drunk and starts singing, but that's the cheap imitation. We get full of the Spirit and we sing praise, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. The Bible says to sing a new song, doesn't it? Revelation 14:3. I'm wrapping this up here. Revelation 14:3. They sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. Because of who they were, since they sang a new song, and nobody else could sing it but them. Because of who they were, and because of what they had experienced of God, they had a unique song. God, listen to this. God wants you to sing a song to Him that you alone can sing. God wants you to sing a song to Him that because of who you are and because what He's done in your life and because of what you've experienced of Him, that no one else can learn it. No one else can sing it but you alone. And He wants to hear it out of you. Don Piper, the man that wrote the book 90 Minutes in Heaven. He died. He was in heaven for 90 minutes. He was revived and came back. I referenced that book many times and some of the things he says and his relating his experience in heaven in those 90 minutes. I relate it sometimes in funerals. But I don't get a chance or it's really not time to talk about the music. And he said, he talks about the things that he saw. He said, and then I heard the music. And he talks about the sounds of heaven. And he talks about the worship. And he said, I heard songs. And he said, not just one song and not just one after another. But he said there were multiple songs all being sung at the same time. He said, now if we tried that here on earth, it would just be a mess. You know, nothing would make sense. It'd be awful. But there, they all blended together. They all blended together. He said, I recognize some of them. Some of them are the ones we sing down here on the earth. I recognize some of those songs. Some of them, though, he said, I never had heard before. They were amazing. And then he said another thing. He said, He said, I also noticed, he says, there's no sad songs in heaven. They're all songs about victory. Hallelujah. And glory and redemption. I believe, he didn't say this, but I believe what he was hearing were not just songs that were being sung in heaven. I believe there were songs that were being sung on the earth that were making their way up to heaven. I believe that. And as I said, it might not sound like a whole lot to you when you're, well, Pastor, I can't really sing. I don't have the great voice. It passes through a filter before it gets to the throne of God, I tell you. What do they call those things? What do they call that equipment that makes your voice better?
Auto-tune.
All kinds of, God's got, you know, if they can develop them here on earth, God's got the best one. Amen. He wants you to sing Him a song that you alone can sing. Psalm 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit. Can anybody testify? Out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He's put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it. Get that. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. What if you don't sing that new song God's given you? Then those many will not see it and fear and put their trust in the Lord. See, our singing can be evangelistic. When we sing our song, it helps other people to put their trust in the Lord. Psalm 96, verse 1, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. How? With a song. With a song. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among the people. How? By singing a song. So powerful. Two final points. You're never too young to sing. Matthew 21, verse 15, it says, but when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that He did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant and said to Him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, I do. They're asking Him a question like, look, do you realize what they're calling you the Son of, they're calling you the Messiah? Are you going to let them call you the Messiah? Are you going to, do you hear what these children are saying? Tell them to be quiet. And Jesus said, yes, I hear it. It's beautiful. It's glorious. It's awesome. It's praise to Him. They were singing. Yes, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise. You're never too young to sing. And you're never too old to sing. Psalm 104, verse 33. Jonathan, you guys come on up. Let's pop the cork. Psalm 104, verse 33. I will sing. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God. While I have my being, may my meditation be sweet to Him. I will be glad in the Lord. How long are you going to sing? Are you going to retire from singing at 65? No, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. Mr. Garner couldn't communicate in normal speech anymore, but he was able to sing to the Lord as long as he lived. I pray that's my testimony. I pray that's your testimony. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Hallelujah. May my meditation be sweet to Him. I will be glad in the Lord. I think we should sing. I think we should stand up and sing.